इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हाय एंड वेलकम बैक टू इतिहास ऑन दिस स्पेशल सेगमेंट कॉल्ड द फाइव ईयर फेस्ट वेयर वी आर डिस्कसिंग द इंडियन जनरल इलेक्शन सो फार। In our last episode, we discussed the 1971 general elections. We saw that Indira Gandhi came back to power. She formed the government with thumping majority. In fact, the period after 1971, you can say the whole of the 70s is a very turbulent and a very controversial decade in the history of Indian politics. There are several things which were going bad at that time. There were several good things which were also going. But by and large, the mood of the country was very turbulent. And the reasons behind that and the stories behind that we are going to see right now. I am joined again today by Mr. Ranjit Rane. Ranjit was also on the last podcast with us. Ranjit, welcome back.
Hi. Glad that we are doing the next episode with yet another election to discuss.
And like you said the last time, yet another, the onus of discussing controversial topics is indeed, given to you.
Has been given to me. But I would probably take it a step further. And I have in fact a phrase that I had, probably the dark years of Indian polity is what I would like to call them.
Yeah.
You know, if you take a step back and look at the freedom struggle that we went through to win independence and then form a government of our own and be ruled by candidates or by politicians who the people of the country choose, the phase between 71 and 77, all these fundamental principles were put to test. Literally everything that the idea of India stood for was questioned. You know, so if we start from where we left last time, the discussion last time, in the 71, the government comes to power.
Yes.
And the first constraint or the first issue that it faces is that of war. While we have always seen wars along our border with China and Pakistan, predominantly western border of India, this was a war which was happening on the eastern border, a war in which we were active members, not by an act of aggression by the enemy, but by our own choice.
Right.
We decided to support the freedom fighters in what is today's Bangladesh. Consequences of that war were for us to bear, because the moment a new country was created, we had an influx of refugees along our eastern borders. Close to 8 million people came in, right? And with that comes the onus of having to sort of make provisions for them. And as if this was just a beginning of bad things, we also started facing sanctions from different countries.
Right.
This was topped up with a heavy rise on the oil prices as well, right? Yeah. As we are even today, an oil-dependent economy.
I think steadily through 1972 and 73, they kept on rising, almost 30%, as you said, and that caused a lot of inflation.
There are a couple of things which we have always seen to impact political decision-making in our country. One is a bad monsoon.
Absolutely.
And then second is global oil prices, right?
Yes.
So, it was this patch when both these things were at their worst.
Right.
And it showed on the decision-making ability of the government.
1972, for that matter, we have the worst possible drought that Maharashtra has ever seen in the history. 1972
drought. So it is things like this which complicate governance. And we are looking at a government which was heavily socialist in its approach, right?
Yes.
So you have a government which is putting in a lot of resource to give out benefits to the people. And it is constrained by these monetary challenges. So as it would be expected, things started going they started going downhill. There were these state elections which were which saw the Congress party being taken out of power in the state.
Right.
As was the trend in those days, the student agitation would be very very strong.
Somehow, back in those days, student politics was very, very happening.
Yes.
It was very The students were very active in politics. This is significant because I think shortly following this, you have this phenomenon in the history of Indian politics by the name of Total Revolution.
Yes.
The call given by Jayaprakash Narayan. Jayaprakash Narayan, fondly referred to as JP. JP was a veteran of Indian polity. He was a freedom fighter, a very, very active name in the socio-political domain, even pre-independence.
Yes.
And in the 70s, he was actually pretty old. He was was 70 plus in age and he had retired from active politics.
Yes, he had in fact been called out of retirement by the student agitation that happened in Bihar.
Right.
In those days. And he gave out the call for total revolution because he believed, and like we also said in the initial part, that the idea of India, which was probably what people like JP fought for the better part of their life, was threatened. From there on, we see that the government machinery then started using its influence to slowly do what is referred to as state capture of institutions. So we have these certain incidences where the established caveats of promotions to institutions like the Supreme Court of India were sort of sidelined, so that people with a certain political leaning or a certain political affiliation would be put in the right places.
And that was, you can say that the government then was actually trying to interfere with the judiciary, directly interfering in the role of judiciary. And this is absolutely unacceptable in a democracy, that one pillar of the democracy actually threatens the other pillar. Democracy cannot function like this.
Exactly.
In fact, along with JP, another important point that we must consider, I actually recently read it in one of the very nicely penned obituaries on George Fernandes recently. George Fernandes had called out for the railway strike. And in 1974,
and among the most impactful strikes, if any, in the country.
Can you imagine a country with the length and breadth and the population of India? 21 days, railways are not functioning. Can you imagine the chaos that must have reigned?
No, I mean the impact would be economy-wide. I would put it.
I mean, people are not able to travel, is fine. Goods are not being transported. And everything just comes to a standstill. The economy was further pushed into a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Along with the existing problems we discussed
that
so far.
There, right.
Actually, Ranjit, after this, in 1975, there's a historic verdict that was given.
Yes, yes.
I remember the date very vividly because that happens to be my birthday, the 12th of June. So, 12th of June 1975, there came a historic verdict given by the Allahabad High Court, which invalidated the election of then Prime Minister Indira Gandhi, not the election to the post of Prime Minister, but her election as a member of parliament was invalidated by the Allahabad High Court. And effectively, what that meant is she could no longer be the MP. Effectively, that meant that she could also no longer be the Prime Minister.
And with the caveat that unless she got re-elected in the next 6 months. So, the since we don't have a form of polity where we elect our national leader, what we do is we elect somebody to the parliament, and then depending on the party dynamics and all that, we have a national leader who comes up.
Right.
So it is. So we have also had a lot of non-elected prime ministers for that matter, wherein they have been elected indirectly to the Rajya Sabha,
including the last prime minister.
Right. So in her case, she could have stepped down from her prime ministership and
appointed somebody else,
interim prime minister, and then she could have probably had a by-election from any constituency of her choice.
Absolutely.
And a major event in Indian polity could have been avoided. But I think that was not to happen.
No.
And that is what led to what is known as declaration of emergency in the country.
Yes.
You know, just in the aftermath of that particular decision, claiming that there was a internal threat to the country, the relevant clauses in our constitution were invoked, and a presidential decree signing the proclamation of emergency was put in place.
The midnight of 25th of June 1975, emergency was levied upon, as they say. Mrs. Gandhi made a formal speech on All India Radio telling the Indian population about emergency. Although she did not really explain what it meant, and for a large part of the emergency period, I don't think a lot of common people actually knew what emergency meant, because for them things were functioning as smoothly as possible.
And if some accounts are to be believed, people actually thought that the government machinery was functioning more efficiently during
that is also because the press freedom was curbed, right?
Right.
If there was a press dissent, it would have been curbed. I mean, it would be curbed. Nobody would allow a press member or a newspaper or Of course, no news channels existed then, and no social media. But it is funny to think, you know, what would have happened if there was social
true,
media.
True, true. And I've also given that thing a thought. So maybe one of the reasons why we say that the middle class was initially sort of supportive of the emergency was because A, they probably saw an efficiency which was never seen before in the government machinery. And two, when it comes down to the aspect of individual freedoms and individual rights, probably people in their day-to-day life were not experiencing that way, right?
Correct.
So maybe that is the thing. But I mean, the excesses of the government during that period cannot and should not be ignored. There are so many lessons to learn only from this brief period of Indian history itself. So there is this famous 42nd Amendment which was put through, and there was an attempt to change what is known as the basic feature or the basic structure of our constitution. The term of the elected government was changed from 5 years to 6 years.
Just like that.
Just like that. Yes, yes. So, I mean, if there are reasons, they probably never made public.
Yeah. Talking about making things public, press freedom was severely curbed.
Yes.
They were squashed. I mean, I think the only notable exception to, I mean, somebody who openly defied Mrs. Gandhi and her orders and the emergency period was Ramnath Goenka.
Yes.
The man behind Indian Express.
Indian Express, yes.
Very interestingly, Indian Express published a blank editorial on the morning of 26th.
Yes.
Of June 1975 in protest.
Protest, yes.
I mean, it was their way of saying that if you do not let us print what we want to, then we are not printing anything at all. Even Mrs. Gandhi ensured that most of her political opponents were detained.
Yes.
And including JP, which was an unfortunate thing if you think about it. He was such a such an aged man.
True,
should not have been the case. But other firebrand leaders like Atal Bihari Vajpayee, who was one of the chief opponents of emergency and Indira, he was detained for a long time, for almost a period of 18 months in emergency. Interestingly, Ranjit, thing to note here is that in all this chaos, Communist Party of India was firmly with Congress.
Strongly supporting, yes. They had this way of thinking where they believed that opposition to the Congress government was an international conspiracy of some sort. But then again, we would like to go on record to say that they have come out and rectified this stand later on though. About emergency, the one thing that can also be said is that it helped shape the careers of so many politicians that we see today.
Yes.
And maybe it was a good thing that they took a stand back then, that, you know, we have stellar leaders like, again, Atal Bihari Vajpayee to name a few.
True.
And as unexpectedly as it was imposed, it was withdrawn as well.
Absolutely.
Right? And the government, with all its political opponents still being behind bars, decided to then go for an election.
Yes, fresh elections were announced in 1977. I think the opponents back then sort of consolidated again.
Yes.
When the fresh elections were announced. This time not as a grand alliance.
Yes.
This time under the banner of Janata Party.
Janata Party.
And they fought the elections. And subsequently, they emerged victorious.
Victorious. I think one thing that probably helped the opposition at that time was the way they probably structured their campaign, not as an anti-Indira campaign, but more as a referendum on emergency.
Yes.
Right? They were going to the people and telling them that this is what can go wrong. And I think that was a turning point in Indian polity as a whole. And we see that they have been able to amass the numbers such that the Congress party, you know, was sort of rattled, and they ended up winning only 154 seats. And in the previous election, they had around 50% of the vote share.
Yeah.
And now it was down to 35%. Loosely held together opposition under the banner of the Janata Party now had around 330 seats, with 295 of them being taken or won only by the Janata Party itself.
Yes.
So, in states like Bihar, Delhi, Haryana, Punjab, the Congress could not win even a single seat, even in UP for that matter. And in states like Rajasthan and MP, they won only a single seat. So,
which is unprecedented.
Unprecedented, right? And so, we are probably saying that, you know, and at the same time, down south and in the central part of the country, we see that they either retained seats or they were also able to convert some seats which were not there. It's the differential impact of emergency which the country faced at that time, which probably gave this result.
Absolutely.
And the two notable defeats of that election were Indira Gandhi herself losing from the Congress safe seat of Raebareli, and her son Sanjay Gandhi, he also losing from the Amethi,
another safe seat
of the Congress. Yeah. Overall, we see that a turning point in Indian polity had indeed manifested itself.
Absolutely.
It came on the back of, like we started the discussion, you know, dark times in our polity. Yes. And whether it happened for good or for bad of our polity is for probably another
for debate.
and probably a topic of another episode to discuss on.
Just to end on a slightly, let's say, a thoughtful note, Morarji Desai, who was a staunch congressman,
had been
a part of the independence
struggle as well,
had sort of been unhappy from the moment of Indira Gandhi's rise in the party, finally managed to become the prime minister of the country after
not
this
election. Not as a Congress party, sort of elected representative.
Totally.
Though.
So, just to quickly sum it up, the 1970s was indeed a very, very turbulent decade, socio-politically, economically, culturally. India is a democracy, and if you actually start being a tyrant, what can happen? Is what the 1977 election showed. Let's say the people of India showed the government through the 77 elections and they emerged with an alternative. This was the first time a non-Congress government was being formed in the independent India. Morarji Desai did become the prime minister of that government. However, the government itself did not last long, and in 1980, Indira Gandhi came back to power with full force. Although that's a matter of the next episode, which we'll eventually discuss. Ranjit, thank you so much for appearing on this episode. You guys keep listening. Stay tuned.